This is all about family unity, keeping families together. A United States citizen spouse whose wife or husband is undocumented and has been in this country for 10 years or more, that undocumented spouse may now have a path to a green card, to lawful permanent resident, without having to do what they once did, which is leave the country and apply for that benefit without any assurance of when precisely they'll be able to return.
So I think here's the question that a lot of people have about that soundbite there that we are hearing from Alejandro Mayorkas, who is over at DHS. I think that the big question that we all have is, okay, so if this is about keeping families together, why can't families be kept together over in the country of origin? I mean, Kane, correct me if I'm wrong, which is a rhetorical device because I'm not. But, you know, I mean, it just seems like that's, you know, that's maybe the perhaps the way to go here.
They're trying to make it sound like the majority of these crossings are, you know, for asylum. And they're not. And so what they're doing is they're encouraging people to apply based on asylum through their app and everything else to make it look as though there's a lot of people seeking asylum when in fact it's all illegal immigration.
Well, and it's people coming, you know, specific. Well, they say for work, but I mean, I don't know. People get these dates with these immigration judges that they never. I was trying to remember, actually, looking back at my notes, the rate of not return on that, but you know what I mean, the number of people who actually go back and they go and they show back up for their court date, and it doesn't happen. It's just not something that happens. It's not something that people do, and so you have, which is why I don't understand why they want all these judges, because what's the point of having all of these judges, because you're not having these people go and undergo go back to court and go through all of that. So welcome to the program again. Dana Lash with you. And it's Wednesday already. We're halfway through the week already, and we've got a lot of stuff to get settled with you today. We're going to get you set up for, well, cuz you know, we've got the debate next week, and we've been talking about the debate. We've been talking about all that stuff. And we're going to get into some of the polling. We were talking about the VP stakes as well yesterday. We were talking about all the VP stakes. We're getting into some of the immigration stuff because the executive order that, well, we knew it was coming and we talked about what was in it. That is coming out. It came out yesterday, although it's not going to, come on, it's not going to do anything. There's, come on, guys. It has. We already know it's not working. It's not working. Stop. It's not working. So we're going to dive into all of that stuff, get you set up. We got some Coulter. I have a story that it's going to take me literally everything I have to get through it. And that's the Gay Flag Football League. Mm-hmm. You guys heard me right. You heard me correctly. So we're going to discuss that. So we got a lot of stuff to hit today. As we start this first hour, got a lot of stuff. It's a weird day because we got some weird topics, Kane. Yeah, we do. You're really excited about that segment, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're very excited about that. That's Kane's. Kane was saying we should just spend all hour making fun of that. Yeah. In fact, is what he was saying.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean, you were very excited about it.
Sure.
So again, good to be with you. All right. So first off, we've got this the executive order. Now it's official, although it's official now. It's executive order out about illegal, out about the border. It's not going to do a damn thing. It's not going to help. It's going to make everything worse. We know this. We talked about it 6 ways to Sunday. What you're going to get, though, is you're going to get, if the federal government doesn't want to do the job, then you're going to have the people do the job. I got to share this story. I've been seeing more video of this because we had it in our headlines, the story of the guy who immigrated illegally from Venezuela, and he attacked teenagers in Queens, and he raped the girl, and police were able to identify him. And apparently he's got a history of stuff. Then there's the guy who raped a 13-year-old girl who's from El Salvador, and he has a history. Anyway, so this guy, this is a completely separate story from the illegal immigrant who came from El Salvador who raped a 13-year-old girl. This is a different guy who crossed into the border who raped a teenage girl. And so this, he had a very identifiable, like a very unique tattoo on his chest. And so they were able to identify him relatively easy. And they had a manhunt. The cops were not able to locate him. They put out all these public notifications. And they got a lot of help. They got a lot of help. In fact, there was a man and some of his neighbors, the man's neighbors, who attacked and beat the hell out of this guy. It's a beautiful thing to see. They got a hold of this guy and they just worked him over. And there was a girl who kept him in a headlock. She had this guy in a headlock, helping to subdue him until police arrived. And good Samaritans just doing what they need to do, right? Because they're trying to protect these people. This guy, because he attacked these two teenagers, the boyfriend and the girlfriend, got him to a secluded area of the park, tied up the dude, raped the girl. And the photos and video, his name is Christian Giovanni Ingalandi, was cowering on the sidewalk. An angry mob was yelling that he was a rapist. And a woman was grabbing his hair. Someone goes, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" And someone goes, "He's a rapist. He doesn't care." I mean, they beat him. They beat him, but beat him to death. It's a beautiful thing to see. Jeffrey Flores helped nab the 25-year-old Ecuadorian illegal immigrant. And he was screaming and he was, oh, my gosh. And he was yelling for help because the crowd was beating him. And, oh, my gosh, you don't want to help. I love, by the way, the people who did it, because they were being interviewed by the press. And the press was like, so you were, you know, you helped restrain this guy. And they're like, yeah, we beat his. I mean, they don't care. They're like, yeah, because you know what? Somebody needs to do it. If you're going to get vigilantism and you're going to get people stepping up if the government doesn't do it, right? The government that you pay your taxes to that's supposed to keep you safe if they don't do it. So this one guy, this is the Jeffrey Flores. He says, I got two little sisters and I'm about to have a daughter. He's like, this is not happening. Not happening. So there was a huge mob, a woman that had him in a headlock. I mean, this dude was beaten to a pulp. I mean, they had him on the sidewalk, on the street. They were kicking him and stomping on him. And it's pretty amazing. I'm not against it. You know what? Government doesn't do your job. You're going to do it. Or doesn't do the job of protecting you and your community. That's why you pay your taxes. And I think all these people should get a refund on their taxes. Get a refund on their taxes, because what are they paying for if the police aren't helping you? I mean, they had everybody, and they were all telling the press, yeah, we did it, and, like, come at us, and, yes, we're going to restrain this guy. He's out here raping girls, and, I mean, this one woman, there was a video of a woman who, I mean, I think she's like an MMA athlete. I don't know if you saw one. She, like, flung herself on him, took him down to the sidewalk, and then everybody descended. It was just made my heart warm. I got the warm fuzzies, Kane. I love seeing some good Samaritan justice, I got to tell you. He was trying to crawl under a parked car, and they were like, nah, ain't going to happen, uh-uh. And, oh, my gosh. And then when the cops finally showed up, one guy was going, where's my $10,000 at? Because there was a reward that was offered. There was a reward that was offered to get this guy, but they weren't going to have this guy in their community. The community wasn't going to have this guy in the community. You know, the government, they were fine. They were fine with it. Because they allowed this guy to come in and out, but nope. So they got a hold of him, and whenever they talked to any of these people, they all had the same thing: I have a mother, I have a sister, I have a wife, I'm about to have a daughter, I have a daughter, I've got, you know, little sisters, I've got daughters, something like that. Or they just know women and they know right from wrong, and they don't want rapists roaming around the neighborhood, and they don't want child rapists running around the neighborhood. And if the police had not shown up when the police did, this guy'd be dead. And I got to tell you, I'd be all about letting those people have a block party. I'd be all about it. And so no one should be surprised. But can I ask what the difference is? Is it because there was a ton of people that came out that were taking care of business? And that's why you're not seeing the media descend on these people like they did the bodega owner? Because the guy who was the bodega owner, it was just one of him. This is a whole mob. And I feel like the mob would beat the hell out of anybody that questioned them for beating the hell out of this guy. Right? I kind of get that sense and I'm all for it. I mean, I don't feel bad with how this rapist was treated. I think that rapists should get the death penalty. I think this guy should be put to death. I think it should be public, and I think it should be live streamed. I am all about making predators so terrified to even think about committing a crime that they walk the straight and narrow. A child rapist, put him to death. It is a rot on society that this kind of scum lives. You're doing the world a favor by snuffing them off the earth. And if the government's not going to do it, I'm all for law and order and I'm all for the laws of the republic. But if the republic ain't functioning, it's the job of the people. And if you don't want vigilantism, then I suggest y'all get off your tufts, all y'all people in the government, and start doing what you were elected to do. So, I mean, this is the reality of the situation. So they're not going to stop this. And so, I don't know. Do you think this is going to send a message, though, to any of these other creeps that are preying on these communities? Because what have I said from the get-go? Who are the people that are predominantly affected by illegal immigration? The legal immigrant community. Which, I mean, the people who come here and become citizens, well, then you're Americans. I'm not calling you an immigrant anymore. You're an American. But, you know, the people that these communities, predominantly Hispanic communities, let's say that. The predominantly Hispanic communities, those are the ones that are most affected by these guys, because this is where these criminals go. And guess whose kids get attacked? The Hispanic community's kids. Where's the Biden administration for this? You know, they sit here and talk such a good game about caring for the lives at the border, et cetera, et cetera. What about after they get over? What about after people legally come here and they become a member of the community? Suddenly you don't like them anymore? You don't care what's happening in their communities? I don't know. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I think that Daniel Penny should be released. It's no different than, I mean, this guy. Ooh. I want to hug all these people that did this. You know why? Because women, can I just, not to go off in a ditch, but women are being shamed right now if their gut feelings warn them about somebody. Women of all ages, young girls are being socially rewired to put themselves at risk because their gut feeling is a bigoted notion. If there's a guy that makes them feel weird, they are shamed for it because of the trans-tifa, right? You can't stick up for yourself. You can't defend yourself. Self-defense is under attack. The bodega owner, Daniel Penny, all of these other guys that have been in the news lately. I want to hug all these people in this community because they validated the reason why people have these concerns. They validated it and they took care of business. God love you. We got a lot more on the way as we roll into headlines. Now, our partner for this portion of the program, they help bring you free radio. This is like one of the things I'm talking about. So, I know that there's a lot of people who are like, you know, stun guns or non-lethal measures aren't lethal measures. I get it. And look, believe me, I say this as somebody who's got hundreds of hours of training. I carry a 9mm wherever I go and then some. I completely get it. And I have zero problem with using lethal force, and I won't cry over it, over somebody who presents a threat to me or my loved ones. But look, not everybody can carry. Some people have to go into gun-free zones. I don't like it, but sometimes people got to make a living and that's what they got to do. Sometimes they're too young to go out and buy a handgun. There's a lot of different things that play in here. These kind of situations is why Byrna Gun was created. Byrna is BYRNA. It is a non-firearm firearm. So all the gun-free zone stuff, it's not applicable to the Byrna Gun. There's a popular model, and this is the one that they've been working with law enforcement around the country so that they can have some options. It's called the Byrna SD model. So what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, when you compare this to like stun guns got like, what, 1-2 shots? This has a 7-round capacity, and it's legal in all 50 states. You're not getting background checks. You know, the gun-free zone signs are not applicable to you. And you can choose different models. There's different colors, different projectiles, different accessories to carry these models as well. You should definitely check it out because, like I said, it's a non-firearm firearm. I'm all about having options. And I really like the idea of shooting chemical irritant projectiles 7 rounds, you know, at having a capacity of 7 rounds. I kind of like that. So to learn more about the Byrna Gun, visit Byrna.com/Dana. Get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so the 911 system across Massachusetts was restored because it went down for hours. They were trying to figure out what was going on. They said that nobody could reach emergency services through the call number. They announced it around 3 o'clock yesterday. I don't care about the time. It's back up. That's all you need to know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh my gosh, it was down. It's back up. The USDA suspended avocado inspections in Mexico, citing security concerns. Because they said that avocados and mangoes coming in from Mexico, they've suspended inspections until further notice. They said this late Monday. Produce already cleared for export is unaffected by the decision. But avocado suppliers say you could eventually be affected if inspections are not resumed. Now, they didn't say what prompted the security concerns. They said that USDA inspectors had been illegally detained at a checkpoint run by community members. I'm going to say that it rhymes with schmartel. Going to just go out, just going to make a guess here. Think it sounds like it's schmartel. That's maybe the people, just saying. Intermittent fasting, they say, may supercharge natural killer cells to destroy cancer. Kane says he can't believe that they're publishing the truth. I do intermittent fasting every single day. And they said that this may actually supercharge natural killer cells to destroy cancer. This was something that a team of scientists uncovered at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Center. They were looking at the link between fasting and the body's immune system. All I know is that my nutritionist and my endocrinologist both like swear by it. And I definitely do, too. I think it's one of the most helpful things I've ever done. So if you can do it, I definitely think you should. This is my favorite headline of ever. A woman gives birth at a Golden Corral in Arkansas, names her baby after the restaurant. What? A Mississippi woman. She experienced a cryptic pregnancy, meaning the hell. It means you don't know you're pregnant, apparently. Tavia Woodfork, she was at, Family Corral. She went to the restroom and then, surprise, baby. She was in labor. She was 37 weeks along. And Golden Corral, they named the baby after the Golden Corral. Tamar Kylon Corral Woodfork. There you go. God bless America. Stay with us. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Did Fed Chair Jay Powell have a Freudian slip? How do we have red hot jobs numbers while the unemployment rate continues to rise? Jay Powell admits that payrolls are a bit overstated. Is he covering for Biden's failures?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Hi!
Hi!
Can we talk?
Yes!
Oh my gosh. So apparently this is what the White House was doing yesterday. While everybody's going broke and people are getting raped in parks and criminals are just, deluge across the border. It's this guy. I don't even know who this is. I had to look him up because I have taste, so I don't know who he is. His name is Jonathan Van Ness, and it looks like he's wearing just like Great Value Notori. And, only like five people are going to know what that means. And shows up to the White House. And I love how ingratiated Kamala Harris has to act. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Just such a circus of butt kissery, right? She has to act so like, oh my gosh, hi, I cannot do that. This is why I also, Kane, could not work as a publicist, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because makes me hate people more if I have to act like I like them. I cannot do it. And she's going, Oh, hi. Yeah, come on in. Wink, shrug. And then he shows up like that. He shows up in this like knockoff Notori caftan. What is, sidebar, what is up with like gay dudes in caftans? Is that your only option of dress? Like you got to dress like a Mrs. Roper reject? What in the world? Like why? With your lank hair? Good heavens. Like product. Just good. You're the worst gay dude I've ever seen in my life. Is that other guy with him gay? Because it's a little bit better. I mean, his jacket and his pants don't really match. His jacket looks wrinkled. It looks like it's two different material. One looks like it's a polyester material. The other looks like it's a linen weave. Those are just two completely incompatible fabrics to wear in June. Why are you killing me? Sorry. I was raised Southern Baptist.
You know, I was scrolling across that on my feed through X, and I saw, you know, the first thing I thought was, I'm like, oh, what? Jesus is visiting the White House. I'm like, this is a good thing.
To bring a plague?
Right. No.
To flip tables?
Like they were, you know, they were bringing Jesus in. Like I
that's
thought
how
that
bad
was like
it
a,
is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Jesus
was
is going to take Biden off. Just
alas, it was not Jesus.
So this guy is, he's like a big advocate for experimental surgery for kids, the medical and surgical transition, saying they're totally reversible, which they're not safe.
That's not Jesus.
And yeah, and he's. I just, okay, something, this is, I got to get super catty. If you're going to wear a body con, you got to have the body to wear body con. You know what I mean? So for the guys out there who are like, hi, Dana, we have testosterone. We don't know what the hell you're talking about. We're men. So that's like a clingy dress. That's all you need to know. Body con is a clingy dress. Your wife and your girls know what it is.
Okay. Contour, is that what that means?
It's like, it's clingy, right? Okay. It's not very forgiving in terms of the silhouette. Yeah. So any pooch is going to show. And he's just got too much showing, right? Like, you cannot, dude, you should not be wearing body con. You're just not fit for it. It's not. It's not for that sort of, please, no. It's like, no. Look at it like this. Body con is like the casing on sausage. There you go. Make sense? Yeah. Okay.
In this case, more literal than you think.
Oh, completely literal. I just don't know why this is happening. So this guy was invited to the White House. Now, a friend of mine noted that the families who lost loved ones in Afghanistan, our service members, they couldn't merit an invite to the White House like this, but this guy could. Why? Because he likes to have sex with dudes? So that gets you an invite to the White House, but you lose your kid in a disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan thanks to Biden, and that doesn't merit you an invite to the White House? Look at the hell kind of White House is this? That's what it takes in order to get an invite. It's just asinine. It's so insulting. So they had, I guess, what? So they were celebrating the 20th anniversary of Queer Eye. And that's who was up there. And he comes, like, every outfit he's in is a caftan, and I'm just dying. And he's wearing slides in one of them. Good grief. I'm just not going to get over this. It's just the worst gay dude ever. So I don't know. I mean, this is who they have. I thought they said that they were bringing decency back to the White House or something. Is that right? I don't know, but that's who they had come in. And then do we have the one where he shook her hand? Well, we had that. Yeah, we played that one. So they had the Queer Eye cast meeting with Kamala Harris. At least the other guys were dressed appropriately. They didn't wear swimsuit cover up, I suppose.
The Jesus looking guy. What's his name?
Jonathan Van Ness.
Is that
Nessie?
He was wearing something like he came from kindergarten watercolor class. Did you see that? Like it was
all
over
the body con dress. Whatever it is. Like that pastel hot mess that he was wearing. Yeah. And this one guy's jacket's bothering me so bad. Like I feel like he's going to rip the sleeves off because he's too portly to cross his arms in front of him. Like this guy that comes up in the simulcast, here he is. His jacket's, look at the two different material. Oh my gosh. And is that an untucked shirt underneath? Kill me now. What in the world? Like I just can't. Like you're fake gay. You're fake. Prove it. Kiss that guy right now because you don't dress like a gay dude.
No.
Sorry.
Wait, it's still Queer Eye for the straight guy.
I don't
know. Is it still like that is the name of the show?
I don't even know what that show's about. I've never watched it.
Do you remember
it.
When it first came out? It was Queer Eye for the straight guy. And they were like,
I don't even know what that meant.
What it was these gay guys were like trying to glam up these straight guys. Yeah, like
these guys in the video.
I don't know about these guys.
Is that one guy seriously wearing like a pastel yellow three-piece? All the vomit in the world.
Yes.
What?
He is.
Oh my gosh. I can't.
It's not yellow. It's canary.
You guys don't understand. I was raised by Southern women. So this is why I'm the way I am. I blame all of that with the Baptist church Sunday morning dress mentality. So that's, I come by it honest.
I just want to know if they're still for the straight guy. I thought it's Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
I have no idea what it's called. I just know that just one of those guys could adequately dress.
Yeah,
one.
I just hear it referred to as Queer Eye now. I don't hear the rest of the name of that show, typically.
Gosh, can't deal. You know what else I can't deal with? Because it's like the alphabet month stuff. You know, a D-Day, you know, Normandy, they get a day. This is a real story. I made sure this was real. And it's on the Buffalo Bills site. So the Buffalo Bills are sponsoring a national gay flag. Oh, wow. Flag. Football league. I was told I could not drop the L. I did check. They're creating a National Gay Flag Football League chapter in Buffalo.
Thank
you. Now, my first thought was, do you have to make flag football gayer? That's my first thought. And my second thought is, well, I would think tackling would be a priority. And then my third thought was immediately I went to names that I cannot say on air. But I just, so they have like all these different cities. I don't really know what they do. So I guess what makes it gay flag football or flag football? What makes it that? Do they just slap a rainbow on it and they're like, oh, today's the rainbow? Like, what is, wait, that's Skittles. I don't know. But what makes it gay? Only gay people can play or they play a gay way? I legit don't know. That's like saying we're going to have gay dodgeball. Well, how is it different from regular dodgeball? Well, it's gay. What does that mean? Well, we pause during halftime and have sex with dudes. What? I just don't know what it means. What makes it gay? Like, that's, you see, these differentials are so stupid. But I was thinking, you know, if I were doing it, and I got, this is why, again, shouldn't be in charge of things.
Oh, no.
Or should I?
What are you leading up
well,
to?
Well, I love the idea of being a sports announcer, even though I know nothing about football. But I would be really great at, like, team names and stadium names and promotions and things like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Kane sent me a list of names, and I have a list of names. And I just, you know, I was just thinking, how would that work?
You can't use most of my list.
Why did you send it?
Because I thought you'd get a chuckle out of it. Not that you'd use it on the air.
How long have you known me?
A long time.
Kick it, Steve. Kick it. I can't play the NFL football music. Welcome back to Hershey Highway Stadium here in San Francisco, where tonight the Los Angeles Rump Raiders face off against the Green Bay Grinders. Yes, the Grinders were 3-0 last Sunday against the Tennessee Tur Burglars, and whoa, was it a game. And don't forget Pittsburgh Poundtown's incredible play last night against the Portland Pillow Biters. My goodness, it's all nuts to butts tomorrow against the Chicago Bears. And tonight at the Hershey Highway Stadium, it's flag night. Fly your LGBTQIAP2SBBQWTFTTYL flags tonight in support of LGBTQIAP2SBBQWTFTTYL. Brought to you by Monkeypox, the hot new dive bar in Hell's Kitchen, featuring popular house band the Van Dykes, who plays Scissor Sisters tunes backwards set to dubstep. Spun by Meow Mix, the proto-furry DJ quintet of New York City. Wow. And don't forget Bob Friday, the Minneapolis Man Caves take to the turf against the Toronto Twinks at the Cubbyhole Stadium in New York.
Lord.
There's your lineup.
The erection.
Insane. Yep.
Wow.
You'd watch that, wouldn't you? No, you wouldn't, would you?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. What,
I mean,
now,
it sounded exciting the way you did it.
I can create some energy.
It was the things in there that you said.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to see a proto furry DJ quintet in New York City, man? I need your analysis, Dick. Well, the Milwaukee Manhandlers are going to be no match for the Nashville Knob Gobblers coming up next weekend there, Bob. Just saying. So is that what it's going to be? Now, here's my other question. Is it like dudes and chicks on the same team? Or is it like dudes and then chicks? But then also, can't people not define what a woman is? So is it like, I'm confused. How is that going to work? Is it the full spectrum of all the letters with a rainbow alphabet, acronym, whatever? Or are the T's not involved?
It sounded like it was just LGB, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Not the T's?
I don't know, because they got some of those trans flag stuff in there. So that's why I'm asking. You know, are you going to be up against some, like, refrigerator Perry-sized chicks on your team? Like, I'm just curious.
Is it just me, or should it not
be? Sorry, I forgot it wasn't tackle. What?
Is it just me, or should it not be this confusing?
Oh, no, it shouldn't be this confusing. But, Kane, we live in a new era where everything's stupid. So, yes, it is going to be that confusing. You know why? Because we are an indulgent species. We are stupid, weak people, and we're indulgent, and we've created problems for ourselves. We solved all these other problems of, like, diseases and famines and things like that, and so we're like, we're bored. Let's create some more diseases and famines and, you know, problems and instability, and then when we decided that wasn't enough, let's just make it real confusing as to what people's bits are. Yeah, let's do that. So now everyone's a his, hers, his, set, whatever. But I'm saying, that's what you get with Alphabet. A whole month of this. Wow. A whole month.
I just had to ignore a call from the FCC. That's weird.
I swear to you, if you are texting Brendan Carr about this, you already did front hole. He literally texted the FCC, Brendan Carr, commissioner on the FCC. You literally texted him about that. You're not going to sit here. I cleared it already with Radio America. And they're like, no, you cannot say the thing that you wanted to say.
Yeah, see, that part I agree with.
I'm not allowed to drop the L in flag.
It felt like we shouldn't be saying front hole on the air, but apparently it's okay.
Well, I mean, there's different places, you know, so there's like sides and, you know, parallels and, you know, fronts and backs and, you know, all, you know, ups and downs and, you know, all that, you know, just... So,
can we go to commercial?
Yeah, and we can also talk about how Biden called out for a dead congresswoman at a speech. That was fun. Well, actually, no, wait. He did it again, apparently. And then it was a throwback to this time that he did it at this Hunger, Nutrition, and Health. You know, just cheap fakes. We just got cheap fakes. That's all, guys. It's all cheap fakes. That's all. Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for The Wellness Company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The action I'm announcing today will go into effect later this summer. And by the way, just as was true in the Protection Agreement, the steps I'm taking today are overwhelmingly supported by the American people, no matter what the other people say.
Any guesses of what he's talking about? I heard Elizabeth. So this is his mass amnesty stuff that he's talking about yesterday, because that was the presser that he was giving, where you have how many hundreds of thousands now? And he says, oh, the American people support it. No. What American people? Not any of the ones that we've heard. Not any of the ones that have been surveyed. I mean, they definitely don't. So, I don't know who he's talking about with that. And then he just not, yeah, I just, we're going to talk about some of this here coming up because they're trying to say that it's not, first they were trying to say that it wasn't mass amnesty. And now they're like, well, you can have that and also have a secure border. And I'm trying to work out how that goes down in my head, right? What do you mean? Like you can have both. How does that work exactly? You can't have the open border. You can't have the mass amnesty and then also have the secure border. It doesn't really work out like that. Not at all. So we're gonna follow that. Now, the other thing too is this week we're awaiting, it's SCOTUS season, the decision as to whether or not Trump is the presidential immunity, whether or not there's going to be a trial. And every day that we wait, apparently, the longer it takes, you know, the longer the trial actually would get pushed back if he has to go through trial. So that's that'll be interesting because it's SCOTUS season, like I said. So that's something that could happen tomorrow. Anytime this week. We're just waiting for that. And then, of course, there's a couple of other Supreme Court decisions. And then next week, don't forget, we got the debate on the 27th. The debate. We're going to have to make a bingo card. We're going to have to just to get through it. Coming up, we're going to get into some of the primary stuff in Virginia and some others. And we got to stop backing rhinos just because of their primary choices. Just because a conservative didn't back someone during a primary doesn't mean that we go full rhino and back a rhino. And we got to stop doing that. Otherwise, we're not going to get the D.C. that you want. You're not going to get the power in the House that you want. You're going to get weak people. That's what it'll be. So we'll discuss some of that. We're also going to get into, looking down here, we've got the latest on information being divulged about that Nashville murderer, the trans activist that shot up a school. It's amazing that the journalist is facing jail time for leaking that manifesto. And then on top of it, you have the doctor that was leaking the experimental surgeries on children in Texas that now the FBI came to his door. And this guy's in trouble. He's facing prison time. So we're going to talk. They want to keep things hush, hush, hush. We've got that for you. And then we're also going to talk with my friend Eddie Gallagher. He's with the Pipetter Foundation. This weird story about this Navy SEAL or Navy sailor that found himself in some trouble. And there's a question of why does the military treat certain people the way that it does, but then flags everywhere? You know, we're going to talk about all that more. Stick with us. Gold Co. Golly, the economy's trash. I could sit here and tell you every single day, same headline. Economy's bad. Economy's bad. Economy's bad. And the borders, everything's horrible. So here, look, this is what you need to do. Go buy gold and silver. Don't be like these people who sit around and then wait till it gets too bad and then they lose everything they got because they didn't diversify their retirement savings with precious metals. And this is what you can do with Gold Co. You got a free 2024 wealth protection guide to arm you with the facts about precious metals and how it could help you in the face of inflation, exploding national debt, the whole nine yards. And you could possibly be eligible for up to 10% instant match and bonus silver while supplies last. So don't sleep on it. They've got thousands of five-star reviews, and they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Education first position, and they want you to have the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. No pressure, and they're dedicated to transparency. Visit DanaLikesGold.com, get your free gold kit from Gold Co., and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
You heard it directly from the president today, right? He talked about who we are as a country. He talked about the importance of putting forth legal pathways, but at the same time, securing our border. If you think about the announcement that he made today, it's about protecting American citizens, American families.
I'm not quite sure how you accomplish that because it's we're not seeing that at the border. The communities at the border aren't feeling it. ICE isn't feeling it. Border Patrol, none of them are feeling it. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. And it's going to be with you here. You can listen coast to coast. You can also check out the simulcast of the radio program on channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, all that, where there's always a chat going on. all that good stuff. So make sure you go and check all of that out. Yeah, no, this is not gonna. This is all about the amnesty. I mean, it's his executive order on this, just one right after the other. And in the meantime, no relief in sight and nothing added towards any kind of deterrence. I think what they said is they're spending money on fentanyl detection, like machines that can detect fentanyl. Because we just know that that's how it comes across. They declare it. You know, Kane, when they're crossing the border illegally and smuggling drugs, they declare the fentanyl. Yeah, you know how that's how it works, they're right? Open about it. Yeah, they're super open about it. They're very open and honest about it. You're correct. That's, you know, it's really a hallmark of the smuggling operation. And while all of this is happening, I mean, he's just a disaster after disaster after disaster with policy. I had this story out where had promised, and where did I put this? He had promised the internet expansion and all of this stuff, and they had allocated, you know, millions of dollars for it. That went nowhere. Just like the EV, the construction of all of these EV stations, you know, that didn't go anywhere either. Just one win right after another. And in the meantime, the media, instead of talking about those major policy problems and how you had the Maryland governor calling for a border closure even. Nope. Instead, the media is doing everything that they can, still freaking out over fact checks about the decline of Biden on video. Literally all last night, there was report after report after report after report. I'm looking at it. NBC, CBS, ABC, Hollywood Reporter, Associated Press, everybody, all the major networks, all of it. In fact, Audio Soundbite 8, this was part of CBS's report. Listen to this.
You've probably heard of deep fakes, but just last week, as President Biden was at the G7 summit in Italy, cheap fake clips went viral on social media and were picked up by some news outlets. Take a look at this clip, for example. It shows Biden and other world leaders watching a skydiving demonstration before the president is seen walking away and looking in another direction. Outlets claimed that he was sort of just aimlessly wandering away. The clip amassed millions of views within just a few hours, when actually he, if you widen out, you can see that he was talking to one of the members of the military.
That's even worse, because we've all seen that video. He was walking over and staring at this other guy who wasn't one of the guys who had jumped out of the plane. He was not one of the parachuters. He was a guy who was packing up stuff for the guys who did it. And he was looking at the ground. He wasn't talking to Biden at all. And Biden walked over and just sort of stood and stared. He was not talking to Biden at all. He had a hat on. He had like a beret on. He had like a brownish greenish, like a military, like a khaki kind of uniform on. And he was packing up. He was not one of the guys that had parachuted down with the G7 banner. And so he wasn't talking in the video, the full, which everybody has seen. That's the whole thing. He wasn't talking to, I watched it a million times. He wasn't talking to Biden at all. He was looking down at the ground, and then he'd look away and he would grab something else. He was not at all talking to Biden, and nor was Biden talking to this guy, because you could see Biden's mouth and he was not moving. He wasn't moving his mouth. He was not talking to him. So that's a lie. Are you shocked that they're going to try to come up with some kind of lie? They hope that you don't go find the whole video, and they don't count on people like me, who are total nerds, who have seen it and have watched it. That's what they're trying to allege here didn't happen. It's just bad. But they're going crazy for this. They're trying so hard to rehabilitate him for this. The press is all in. They are all in. That one got community noted. They were not misleading. None of these people were misleading anything. You know, I was thinking about this last night. I was on Jesse Waters talking about this. Would we know the extent of Biden's agility or mental acuity had Elon Musk not bought Twitter? because I somewhat think that his running X now, the way that it that he is, and not cooperating with government censorship outreach, which was exactly what they were doing with Twitter. There are a lot of tons of evidence. There's emails, there are texts that all support this, particularly as it related to the pandemic and then the laptop story. But they were able to get Twitter's previous owners to comply, and Musk doesn't do that. And does it? Do you think it gives maybe a little bit more standing to say, like, if the Meta doesn't want to suppress anything? Do you think it gives them a little bit more cover if they don't want to go to the extreme that the administration is? They shouldn't go to any extreme or anywhere at all. But it just makes me wonder if it gives them reason to say, well, we're only going to go this far and not this far. But at the same time, we wouldn't know any of this, I think, had Musk not purchased Twitter. Just think about how they were shutting everything down prior. You know that they would be working overtime to shut down the distribution of these videos, Kane.
Oh, yeah.
And look how aggressively the government went after control for the internet, like on several different times with net neutrality alone. They're trying to make it a utility so the government can go in there and regulate it all, which, by the way, will not make it more affordable.
That's what I have to laugh whenever I hear about the net neutrality, and people are like, it's the government trying to make the internet fair. And I'm like, no, literally, it's not. It's the government tricking you into giving it more power to regulate it as a public utility so they can exert censorship controls over it and have justification to do so for the quote unquote public good. And people are buying hook, line, and sinker into it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is actually cringe. That's exactly what it is. Go read the proposal. I mean, they have it at thomas.loc. You can go and read all the proposals back when it was making the rounds, when they were pushing net neutrality. You can go and see it. And the FCC makes public their discussion. They all issue statements and analysis on it, all the people on the commission. So it was all about introducing regulations to treat the internet as a public utility and to have it be where the government could exert control over it in the name of it being a public utility. That's what net neutrality is all about. And they named it net neutrality so that they could argue behind some veneer of false fairness. And it has nothing to do with that. Again, none of the stuff in D.C. is ever actually, it never actually bears the name of what it truly does. Right. It's always named either something opposite or something completely, entirely different from what it is actually designed to do. And so I don't think that we would know as much had Musk not purchased Twitter. I think so much would be suppressed and it would be restricted. I think accounts would be suspended if they were sharing these videos, because clearly Democrats recognize that it has created a very bad problem for them. I mean, clearly they see this. And so they're trying to, if they can't get ahead of it, it looks like they're just trying to, well, I guess we'll just say that it's all fake. You know, you know what they could do, which they don't? You can't sit here and tell people that what they're seeing and witnessing, and you're also talking about people who've witnessed this stuff in person. I mean, I watched Biden give the State of the Union address in person, and he looked frail. Now, that wasn't a deep fake. That was me sitting, you know, up in the galley in D.C. watching him, and he looked frail. That's not a deep fake. That's reality. If Democrats really wanted to counter this correctly, what they would do is say, oh, well, you know, Biden had an off day and you guys are just playing these videos so much to make it seem like this is usual as opposed to an exception. That would have been my take on it. That if I were telling them how to do their messaging, I would say, look, you're not going to be able to, you're going to make it worse. And these people are going to smell blood in the water if you act like it doesn't exist. So take that, at least take that power from them and acknowledge its existence, but then also say, this is the most recorded man in the world. He's on cameras every single time he steps out of any kind of private area in the White House. You know, of course you're going to get him in some days when he's, I mean, that's how I would have messaged it. I don't believe it, but that's how I would have messaged it. That's not what they did, though. They're like, no, those are, and then she doesn't even get the word right. Cheap fakes. So now the media has to act like it's like a whole new thing. Oh my gosh. Why do you think they said cheap fakes instead of deep fakes? Because I'm partly thinking that it's on purpose, but then I'm wondering, or is it not? Is it just to separate it so that it's not entirely accurate to say deep fake? Is it to get away from the poisoned, selectively edited phrase that conservatives ruined for progressives? Because any time that there was a video catching a progressive, you know, doing something that, you know, with some impropriety, they would claim that, oh, it was selectively edited. All of this was selectively edited. And I just feel like, you know, I don't know. Do you think it was that they did? Do you think she messed it up? Because now I'm wondering if she had done it on purpose.
I think it was like one of those verbal typos that stayed. Because I think that legally a deep fake is an actual digital manipulation of a video. And they can't certainly legally do anything by calling something a deep fake when it's not. It's clearly just damning video. That's different. It's not a deep fake. Yeah. So they call it cheap fake to make it sound like it's aligned with a deep fake. But in reality, it's not. It's actually just video they don't like.
Interesting. So this Washington Times piece, we're going to talk about this coming up, that high-speed internet, again, another plan from Biden. Remember when he was promising rural high-speed internet? Not a single home was connected 3 years after they appropriated the money and said they were going to enact it. You don't need a disaster to prepare for any kind of major emergencies, and that's where this our partner comes in over at ReadyWise. You want to avoid the stress of crowded stores and depleted shelves and unreliable services and inflated prices if, heaven forbid, something goes sideways. And what ReadyWise facilitates is that you get direct access to top quality food grown here in the U.S., packed here in the U.S., from them. And that's what's so great about it. I can't vouch for all those other services, but I know at ReadyWise, it says high quality U.S. ingredients, and it's all packed and distributed from their U.S.-based plant. So you know your food's local. You know where it's coming from. It's coming from the U.S. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required. Easy to prepare. Just add water and you got a 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. So visit ReadyWise.com. Use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Archaeologists find the depiction of a Simpsons character in a 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy coffin. It's supposed to look like an Egypt warrior pharaoh, maybe, sort of. They said, but it looks like Marge Simpson. It literally looks like Marge. It looks just like Marge Simpson. Green tube dress, blue hair, sticking up. It's really funny. I mean.
And how old is it?
Many years old.
3,500 or something?
Someone's looking for it. It's 3,000.
Yeah.
3,000 years old.
Wow.
And I don't know why they drew it with only four toes, but okay. Five fingers, but four. Oh, no, wait, one, two, three. No, she's got five toes on one and four toes on the other. That seems like an oversight. Or is it? Is it? So it just, they found the mummy in excellent condition. Beaded dress. They said it was a very rare find, but it totally looks like Marge Simpson. Just saying. Also, Star Wars fans abandoned Star Wars as Disney Plus brings on the lesbian space witches. It's horrible. They're ruining everything. This is Star Wars Acolyte. It's an 8-part series streaming on Disney, and everybody hates it because it tries so hard to be woke. I mean, they try really hard. They have, it's being called a queer Marxist vandalization of the myth of Star Wars and an embarrassment to the entire franchise. They said it's the gayest Star Wars yet. Basically, you can have like lesbian Jedi that can make force babies. Figure that out. A coven of lesbian space witches who use the force to make force babies. Not even kidding.
Science fiction.
This is so bad. It's so bad. I mean, anything where there's a, like women, all of my worst experiences have been in things dominated by women because women are just, we're bitches. Let's just be real. And I can't imagine that this movie is going to be any different than human reality. So a man beaten with a bat nearly four decades ago actually finally dies of his injuries. Four decades ago, Pennsylvania man. He was beaten with a baseball bat, and a local coroner said that his death is now technically a homicide because the injuries called permanent, the assault caused permanent traumatic brain injuries and complications as a result. And it was diffuse traumatic brain injury that ultimately did it. So because the injury was permanent and it contributed to his deterioration and ultimately end of life, Now it's considered, a homicide, which makes sense. That makes sense. British tourists may face lie detector tests when trying to enter the EU. The people going on vacation to European Union countries, are probably going to have to undergo lie detector tests when entering, with AI software set to flag anything suspicious to immigration officers. Checks are reportedly set to come in force at airports and ferry terminals as EU. Oh, they're going to tighten their borders to Britain, but not to, like, I don't know, Libya and Tunisia and everywhere else. Like, really? You're going to Algeria, to Afghanistan, to Iran. You're going to tighten your everywhere else, but not there. Okay. Not all those other places. You're going to let them go everywhere else, but Britain, no. That's so dumb. A German MEP, member of parliament, was all on it. Of course they were. The EV startup Fisker files for bankruptcy after suspending production. Oh, I'm so sad. That's, by the way, that's the car company that the Bidens had stake in. You know that, right? That was the big fancy EV that he got from one of those Chinese businessmen with CEFC. Up next, a very interesting case involving a sailor. Stay with us. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/DanaShow and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/DanaShow. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/DanaShow. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast all around the country terrestrially. You can stream the radio program, and don't forget the simulcast as well. The video component, which you can watch Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, everywhere. One of the things that we've talked about, I think, consistently on the program, and it's mostly been related, you know, politically and all of the court cases that we've seen, is this two-tier system of justice. And, you know, we talk about it happening in the civilian world so often. And then I came across this story on a friend of mine, their social media account. And it's the story of this young sailor, Harrison Tace. And this is a wild story. He's 21 years old. So, I mean, and I know he's a grown man, but, you know, I have a child who's 19, and I'm like, he's a baby. He's like, he's a grown man, 21 years old, but he's young. You know, he's a young sailor. And he immediately out of high school, he enlisted. And apparently one evening he was playing pool with a group of sailors, and one of the guys that he was playing with apparently lost some money. I guess he was betting on the game, and the guy was trying to bully Harrison Tace's friend and then brought a knife to the pool game. And apparently all hell broke loose, and then Harrison was trying to defend his friend. He ended up being stabbed 8 times. There's a photo of him on social media with an actual knife in his head, like a knife protruding from his head. And he was stabbed 8 times. He was at one point, I guess doctors thought he was dead or he was going to die. And the guy who apparently did the stabbing thought he had killed Harrison Tace. And when authorities, you know, when he was detained, he was screaming that I'm not a murderer, according to witnesses. And they left Harrison Tace bleeding on the floor. He was medevaced to the trauma center. 3 surgeries later to repair his lung, an artery, and, you know, the surgery required to remove the knife from the skull. It's like a horror movie. Thank God he ended up surviving. Now, here's where it gets weird. The NICS investigated, and you would think that the person who did the stabbing and stuck a knife in a guy's head was going to get the charges. But he didn't. Harrison Tace got the charges. I have no idea why. I heard about this story from my friend's organization, the Pipe Hitter Foundation, and this is one of the things that they do. It's a tax-exempt charity, and they support service members and first responders and their families. And the co-founder of that, Eddie Gallagher, joins me now via Skype. And he was the one that I learned this from through their Instagram account. Eddie, thanks for joining me. How in the world, first off, I'm trying to get around the fact that the guy who did the stabbing, I mean, when you put a knife in a guy's head in any other scenario, you know, you usually get a charge for that, not the person who has the knife put in their head, Eddie. That was surprising.
I mean, it is surprising for probably the everyday civilian, but we're talking about the Navy and the UCMJ, and their incompetence never surprises us. I mean, this is why we created our foundation, was specifically for cases like this. You know, once NCIS got involved, they gave Harrison a JAG, which is a legal mm-hmm. representative in the Navy. This JAG has never tried a case before. Right away came in and said, you need to take a plea deal. That is the first thing that was said to Harrison Tace and his family as Harrison Tace is lying in bed fighting for his life. You know, you went over the story briefly, but, you know, just to reiterate, you know, Harrison Tace's charges right now are Article 80 armed robbery. And that is for defending his friend who was in a bet with the guy that attacked him. Harrison had nothing to do with the bet at all.
And from what I understand, Eddie, too, wasn't it? It was like a digital, like a Venmo or something correct. Transaction.
Yeah, the bet was through a Venmo transaction. The assailant refused to pay the debt and instead pulled out a knife and tried to bully his way out of the pool hall. Got into a scuffle with the guy he was in the bet with. And Harrison, who did the right thing, stepped in, tried to de-escalate the situation, ended up getting stabbed 8 times and then a knife lodged through his head. And they are charging him with an attempted robbery for stepping in and trying to break up this fight. They are also charging him with 128, which is assault, for placing the sailor who was stabbing him in a headlock while he was stabbing him. And the last charge is disorderly conduct for fighting, which is a blanket statement the Navy does all the time on anything. So he's facing these three charges while he's laying in bed fighting for his life, you know, and he is facing court martial, I believe, in a couple of months. And if he goes to court martial, he could get a bad conduct charge, discharge out of the Navy, which will follow him for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And this is someone, Harrison is a all-American, like, great kid. We've had our legal team has talked to him and his family. This kid just wanted to join up the United States Navy, serve his country, and do what was best for him. And this is the way the Navy is treating him after this unfortunate incident.
What did the assailant, the guy who stabbed him, what kind of articles was he charged with? What was levied against him?
I'm not sure what he's being charged with, but here's the catch. He is free right now, roaming the same base that Harrison is on. So they're both restricted to the same area. The assailant is now back at work. So, I mean, this is the absurdity of the United States Navy and the UCMJ. It is filled with incompetent people who do not know what they're doing. These decisions are made very rashly. And then you involve the clown show that is NCIS, who are not even close to being real investigators. They're all just looking to make a case or get rid of a case as fast as they can. Right? And this is why our foundation, unfortunately, has to exist, because we are going to hold NCIS and the Navy legal system their feet to the fire and make sure they do the right thing.
We're talking with Eddie Gallagher with the Pipe Hitter Foundation. You can find them on social media. You can find them online. We have the URL down there in the lower third. When you said this could follow him for the rest of his life, for people who don't know, you get a dishonorable discharge. You're a prohibited possessor. I mean, that's on your record. I mean, that comes up in any kind of job interview. You can never buy a gun. You can never carry a gun. There's a number of things that come into play against you. And then on top of it, Eddie, from what I understand, he could have all of his benefits, everything stripped from him, including correct. His ability to pay for his care.
Yep. And then also he could have to pay back the $25,000 signing bonus that he did to join the Navy as well. So all those are up in the air right now. What we're hoping, you know, he's got a great legal representation, Jay Sullivan, who is going to hold the Navy accountable. And we're just hoping that the Navy comes to their senses and actually drops these charges before they get to court martial. But when dealing with the Navy, you never know. So
it's wild. When you're dealing with such a serious case where this guy who almost lost his life could be irrevocably changed now, depending on what, you know, they decide to charge him with and what they decide to do. And you're going to assign him a guy that's never tried a case before ever. I mean, this, it seems like it's an, I mean, for me, again, non-military, not a lawyer, but I know what attempted murder looks like. I mean, and that's, you stick a knife in a guy's head and I think you're going to try to kill him.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's pretty clean and cut. I mean, it's, this is about as black and white as it gets, but still the Navy somehow and NCIS somehow screw this up. And so that this is why we've had to step in. You know, the Tace family there, you know, we ended up reaching out to them and it was on their own volition that they wanted to fight this. The Piper Foundation doesn't advise or tell people, you know, you should stand up and fight. But if the family is willing to fight, that's who we get behind and support. But yeah, they, you know, thank God that the Tace family has a backbone and they're willing to take on the United States Navy and get the right thing done.
This seems like it's happening more often than not. And it, when did this start happening? And I mean, how did it get this bad this quickly?
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of factors involved of why it got this bad this quickly. I mean, the politicalization of the United States military that has happened over the past 20 years. We can see it and just in our leadership in the military, which is the main problem.
Yeah.
The leaders that we have in our military all need to go because they are all making decisions for their own betterment, for the betterment of the institution and not for the men and women that are serving below them. And this is a constant theme we have seen since we started our foundation when we are defending these men and women who are getting unjustly persecuted. So I truly believe the main problem is the leadership that we have in the military right now. And I'm talking about commanders and above, because once you get to that level, you are a politician in uniform. In order to promote, you have to have Congress sign off on your promotion. So these individuals are making decisions based on how they can climb that ladder and not based on the betterment of the men and women below.
That is really important to note that it's that you have to have you basically have to network with members of Congress. And that means you got to say the right things optically. You got to have the right PR moves. You have to bend the knee, so to speak, on all of this other public initiative stuff in order to get, you know, in order to ascend and go higher in your career.
Yep. And I mean, and we, you know, not just in the Harris and Tace case, but the military in general, we've seen the degradation of, we've seen the recruitment numbers are low. We've seen the woke agenda that's been trickled down through the military and just now prevalent on everything that you see on recruiting commercials and everything else. And, you know, the leadership is scratching their heads like, oh, why can't we get people to recruit? What is the problem here? And they're looking everywhere else but themselves. And they're the ones that should be pointing the finger at themselves like, what am I doing wrong here? It's because they don't have a backbone and they're not willing to stand up for what is right. They are all a bunch of yes men. They've been trained to be yes men since the Obama regime. And these are the people that are in charge right now. And I think, you know, we can see it as plain as day. I mean, from the Afghan withdrawal to everything that has happened in the past 4 years. So, I mean, this is, you know, the Pipe Hitter Foundation was founded to fight one little piece of the pie. And that's what we're going to do, is to make sure that these leaders are held accountable and that these JAGs and the UCMJ does the right thing.
We're talking with Eddie Gallagher with the Pipe Hitter Foundation, in this case with Harrison Tace, who I can't imagine, you know, the idea of armed or attempted robbery, and, you know, he's defending himself and he gets charged with assault. And yet, you know, the guys who actually escalated it and created the problem, they're out walking around free. You know, you mentioned recruitment, and there are so many out there. And I hear this so many times from different families. They're nervous. And even those young men and women who would think about enlisting, they pause because they see cases like this. They saw cases like yours. They see what happened in Afghanistan. They see a number of these situations and they think, well, wait a minute. If I'm going to go to that extreme for my country and put it all on the line, will my country, will this institution have my back if I need them to? What does that do to military preparedness? How concerned are you for that?
I mean, I've been concerned about it. I mean, ever since my case, obviously, we drank through a fire hose of exactly what goes on behind the scenes, and it was disgusting, which is why we started this foundation. But, you know, ever since then, I've been concerned that, you know, the men and women who are either serving this country or wanting to sign up for this country are going to be afraid to do the right thing and do their job at the right time because they're scared of the consequences that are going to come down on them from the leadership, from people who don't even go out there and actually do the job. These are people sitting behind desks who armchair quarterback all day long, and the consequences are severe. I mean, the decisions that are made to these young men and women for doing their job are ruining their lives. And not only ruining their lives, they're ruining their family's lives. So, I don't blame, you know, these young men and women who are pausing and hesitating to join. But I always tell them that there is nothing more honorable than serving your country. And the one thing you can count on in the military is change. And hopefully we will see that change coming this November. We'll swing things back to where they used to be. It's going to take some time, but I don't want to dissuade young men and women from joining this military, because I truly believe it is the most honorable thing that you can do.
And from your mouth to God's ears, I hope there's a change in November. What can people do to help Harrison right now and to help Pipe Hitters Foundation? Because this isn't going to be the last case.
No, definitely not. But you can go on the pipehitterfoundation.org. You can look up. We have all the information on Harrison's case, and you can donate to Harrison. And any donation helps, because unfortunately in these situations, the only rights that you have are the ones that you can afford. And you do need a good legal team to make sure that you get the justice that you deserve. So that is what we're doing. So every dollar is going to the Harrison Tate case. If you donate to him, you will also be able to see the other individuals that we are helping. There's a lot of law enforcement, first responders, and you can look into their cases and donate to them as well. Or you can donate just to Pipe Hitter Foundation in general, and that money is going to go to each and every one of those individuals.
Yeah, God bless you. Eddie Gallagher, we appreciate your service to the country, your continued service to the country, and to help other people serve theirs as well. PipeHitterFoundation.org. Thank you so much, Eddie. I haven't read anything about this case anywhere except the Pipe Hitter Foundation social media channels and you and your lovely wife. I have not seen this case anywhere, so I'm so glad that you're talking about it, because it's important. People need to know this. It is a two-tier system, and it's even in the military. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Daniel.
Of course. Kel-Tec is a great company. 300 awesome Americans work here. George Kellgren immigrated the right way, came in from Sweden, went to Cocoa, Florida, and created an awesome boomstick company founded in 1991. And it's an innovative Florida-based creator of pistols, rifles, shotguns, as well as all kinds of accessories and gear. And they've continued the mission of game-changing innovation and performance with their Sub-2K Gen 3. It's light, it's foldable, it's effective, and you don't have to detach your favorite mags or your favorite optics also. You just fold the whole thing in half. And it also just as quickly and easily deploys. I actually just remembered I got some stuff in from Kel-Tec that I just literally this weekend that I need to unpack and go take to the range. I need to go take my toys out. But they're all quality made right here in the US of A. Kel-Tec Made in America, family owned company, family owned values. They employ veterans. They stand behind what we all believe in. And it's just another great American company that makes stuff that's useful to you and supports your natural rights. See all Kel-Tec has to offer at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Follow them on social media so you can be in the know when stuff drops. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So, Kane, do you like honey buns? Like the packaged pastry?
Man, when I was a kid, I used to love honey buns.
Man, when I was in college, honey buns were the jam.
Man.
Because I'd go and I'd have like a break. I remember I had 1 year in particular, I had like a half hour break. And it was like snack time. And man, I'd go and I'd get me like a black coffee and then I'd get me a honey bun. It was the best. It was always the best when you had stuff to do, right? And you were in the grind. So why are you going to be disrespecting it like this, Andre Eason? Florida man from Pinellas County was arrested because he smacked his girlfriend in the face over a honey bun. Now, they were in their car at 4 in the morning outside of Walmart. Sounds like nothing good's going to happen then. When the scuffle began, he smacked her in the face. According to the affidavit, he was placed in custody for domestic battery, released later that day.
Oh, so now, he didn't smack her with the honey bun? He just straight up smacked her?
It just said he smacked her in the face. It didn't say that it was over the honey bun,
right, but not using.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, were they arguing over it? Like, what was the problem here? I've got some questions, but the article didn't get into it because they're horrible people who don't care about, you know, what happens with the honey bun.
Honey buns are trash. And he was like, shut your mouth, woman. And that's what we got.
Yeah, well, let's see here. No, I'm not going to get into that one because it's nasty. And I'm not going to get into that one. And that one's horrible. Oh, You know, well, we could also talk about this guy. This, you're not going to get away from the police after you try to steal a car by hiding in the bathroom and thinking you're going to lock the door and that the cops can't get you. That's the same logic that tells people don't let your foot stick out of the sheet at nighttime when you're sleeping, because that's when the monsters can get it. They got to respect the blanket rule. If the blanket's over the foot, monster can't touch it, right? So just because you run into the bathroom and lock the door doesn't mean the cops can't go in there and get you, especially if you try to steal a car. A man was arrested. He called 911 from inside the victim's home. Why? Because he locked himself in there. He was trying to escape getting his butt handed to him by the homeowner, who caught him red-handed trying to steal his car. Broward County Sheriff's Office deputies responded, and they found the victim in the bathroom, and he said, the guy was trying to hit me. He was hitting me because you were trying to steal his car, you weirdo. What's the matter with you people? Golly, and he's like an older dude. Oh, he's beaten up pretty bad. He's going to need stitches in that eye. But he was taken into, first Florida Medical Center, and then he's in Broward County Jail. He posted $5,000 bond. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. The best coffee that is out there, the only coffee that I drink, I have this coffee every single day. It's veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they're mainstreaming good old American values as well. And they celebrate all of the things that make America great, right down from the roast to the Bagard. It all plays homage to American culture and military history. And they're dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes as well. But they have just the best coffee that you can drink. Explosive roast profiles crafted right here in the US of A using the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms. And they got a variety of choices. You got ground, you got whole bean, you got K-cups ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and so much more. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And when you order from Black Rifle Coffee Company, you're supporting a veteran-owned, veteran-run company. They aid veterans, they employ veterans, active duty and retired, and they want to save you money on just some really good American coffee. That's blackriflecoffee.com, and you can save 20% with code Dana. So see it for yourself today. Sign up for that Black Rifle Coffee Club. Choose your roast frequency of shipment. It shows up on your porch with free shipping. Order today. Get 20% off with code Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com. 20% off using code Dana.
I think you're right. I think there is so much misinformation, disinformation, as we've been talking about. You talked about the video of the president wandering, and it's not true, right? The president wasn't wandering. He was talking to a parachuter that was right in front of him.
No, he
and
wasn't.
What you
he
saw
literally
is
wasn't. That's a lie.
The Republican Party
literally
really manipulating what was being said and what was being seen by the American people. It's also very insulting to the folks who are the viewers who are watching it. And so we believe we have to call that out. We've been calling it cheap fakes. That is something that came from directly from the media outlets and calling it that, the fact checkers and calling it that. And so we're certainly going to be really, really clear about that as well.
You're not being really clear about that at all, Karine Jean-Pierre. And don't lie to us. I watched the full video. He walked over to one guy who wasn't a parachuter. He was there helping the parachuters, and he was packing up like the parachutes. He was wrapping them up. I watched him. He wasn't talking to Biden. I watched exactly who it was. He had like a little hat on, a little beret, and he was in military khakis. He was not at all talking to Joe Biden. Joe Biden was not talking to him because his mouth wasn't moving, unless you're saying that he has telepathy. And he was having an entire mental conversation about deep issues that we couldn't see in the video. Stop it. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast, stream it, watch the simulcast, channel 347 Direct TV. So it's Juneteenth and people are arguing. I'm not going to tell people what to think unless you're wrong. Like, if I will tell you what to think, if you're like, no, I think Green Day can be classified as punk, get out. Get out of my, I'll deport you to where your ancestors came from. Scotland, where are they? I don't care what creed, color, whatever. Out. Totally not joking. Don't mistake the smile as any kind of indication of facetiousness. But I don't know why. First off, some on the right are mad over Juneteenth because they say it's trying to compete with Independence Day. First off, when we moved down here to Texas in 2013, Juneteenth was already a thing down here way before the Trump administration kicked it off into becoming a federal observance. It was a big thing here because it's kind of like Texas centric, right? You had after the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, we didn't have Twitter. And we didn't have, you know, all of that, all these ways for information to spread. And so in Texas, they had something like 200,000 people who were freed by executive decree. You had Union troops come into Galveston, and that it was Freedom Day, and then they just started calling it Juneteenth because they had not known that, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation had been passed and that they were free, and that's how it happened. And there's been stuff like celebrations and different things that have happened like all over Texas. I mean, going pretty far back. So this it's not a new thing, but it was kind of Texas centric. Did you notice that too, Kane, when you moved down here? It was very Texas centric because I mean, growing up in Missouri, I never heard of it. But it was already known in Texas. Now, I think the rub comes when it's referred to as like the second Independence Day or something like that. I mean, clearly for the people who didn't know they were free, I guess, you know, it definitely seems like another day of freedom for them. So the opposition to this, where is the opposition coming from? The idea that it would take away from or take over Independence Day? Because I don't know if I see that happening. I mean, I wouldn't support it, but I don't know that I see that happening. Let me tell you how I look at it. That might be easier. Should I say it exactly how I said it on break, Kane? Or
Yeah. You should, actually.
Okay. I will. You're going to have to forgive me. Actually, I'm not asking permission and I'm not apologizing. I will take every opportunity to teabag on Democrats, every single chance I get over losses. Every time they have an L, I want to be there. Now, yes, I shouldn't celebrate Schadenfreude, but I think that when something that they have done wrong for eons is undone and reversed, that's worth celebrating. Because it wasn't Democrats that freed the slaves. It was Republicans that freed the slaves, just like it wasn't Democrats that supported women's right to vote. It was Republicans that supported women's right to vote. It was never Democrats that have been on the right side of history for any of that. It was Democrats who put Japanese Americans in internment camps. It was Democrats who sent Indigenous Americans on the trail of genocide. And it was Democrats who haven't done anything to allow Indigenous Americans to own their own property on reservations to this day. You had Barack Obama and Joe Biden in the White House for 8 years, and they never did anything about making, quote unquote, Juneteenth a federal observation, a federal holiday. That didn't happen until the Trump administration, and they put the gears into effect. And it was signed in June of 21. Biden wouldn't have been able to sign it had the Trump administration not done it. Love him or hate him, he got it started. So it's another Republican W against another Democrat L. That's how I look at it. I like celebrating whenever Democrat statism is ended. Whenever a Democrat's statist agenda is thwarted, I love celebrating that. And I just like celebrating things because I'm typically a very cynical person. And, you know, there's not a lot to, you know, if you look at the headlines lately, there's not a whole hell of a lot to celebrate if we're being honest, right? You got crazy inflation, you got a deluge at the border, it's all insane. Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. But this is something that I don't think is a DEI or CRT or anything like that. In fact, it's all of that stuff that allowed what it undid to happen in the first place. The left has always made an idol of race. The left has always made an idol of skin color. They make an idol of gender. They make an idol of attraction. They make an idol of everything except God. And that was kind of sort of the end of it. With this, the last group of people who were told that they were freed. And it was slow going, this being spread across the country. There was a very remote corner of the former Confederacy, and they didn't have a lot of Union troops there, and the information wasn't going fast. And so the enforcement of the Emancipation Proclamation was slow going as a result of that. And so it was status quo was continuing. By 1865, they said there were about 250,000 enslaved people still in Texas. And so what this was, you had Major General Gordon Granger, who issued the order informing Texas residents that they were free. And this has always been a stand against statism. And I like celebrating that. I love it that we have, that the United States has so many observances of sticking it to statists. Am I wrong in looking at it that way? Because that's how I look at it. I also think that there's a couple of other things at play here. I don't want to see the right become wholly engrossed with us versus them mentalities. And I realize that in a lot of commentary anymore, it's, you know, it's oversaturated and it gets purposefully dumbed down and it's so stupid. So people have got to stand out. So they say completely ridiculous things and straw man up some kind of conflict for them to stake a flag on one side or the other so that they can try to make themselves appear singular in this, in such an effort as a way for clicks. And I think that kind of contributes to some of it, too. But I've never looked at this as being an observance of race. Even since when we first moved to Texas and I was hearing about Juneteenth, because they mentioned it in our kids' school. It was a Christian school, very conservative Christian school. And I don't think that acknowledging Juneteenth means that you are somehow rejecting the principles of our republic, or that you are rejecting American freedom. I mean, you're celebrating freedom. That's a very American thing. Uniquely American. And so because of this, and I think because of the arguing, it's allowing Democrats to try to hijack it and claim it as a victory of theirs and then festoon it all up with DEI and all this other stuff and exploit it and use it for like race hustling when it really literally was their policies that made it necessary in the first place. That's the irony of ironies with all of this. So I've never, like I said, I've never looked at it as an observance or some kind of holiday of race. It is, I've always viewed it as, wow, this is celebrating freedom. And it's celebrating another win over the left. Which I will not at all pass up an opportunity to acknowledge, and nor should you. You need to remind people of all the wins that people who are pro-Republican, pro-Constitution have over these Marxist nerds. I think that's a great thing. Of course, you know, one of the reasons why this, I think, particular year it's being so exploited is because Democrats are performing so horrifically with black voters. And so they've got the talking points out. They've got the surrogates out there. They've been out there all day long. And they try to point, look at, Republicans are upset over Juneteenth. I actually don't know anyone except for a few, like people who live their entire lives on social media, that are upset about it or that think that it's somehow robbing the celebration of American independence to recognize, hey, we also did this. You know, there's not a scarcity of pride, and nor should there be, or a scarcity of opportunity to claw back power for the people. And I think when you do it, it should be celebrated. It should be. And you should also add, when you talk about it, exactly what I did. Yes, I love the fact that we ended Democrat tyranny and we won against them because they wanted to keep people enslaved. Yes, we love the fact that we ended that Democrat tyranny. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. I'm so glad that Democrats have gone from wanting to keep people on plantations to now celebrating their full emancipation. Yay, good for you. You guys have come a long way. That's how you should talk about it, because that's accurate. Historically accurate, spiritually accurate, intellectually accurate. It's accurate. That is the way to talk about it. So if there's race involved, it's because Democrats wanted to literally deny people rights because of the color of their skin. Shockingly, they're the same party who keeps Dexter Taylor in Rikers because of the color of his skin. Oh gosh, you can't have a black conservative gun owner. Ooh. Make sure you hit his give, send, go, because he needs all the help he can get. So that's kind of how I look at the Juneteenth stuff. And I think that's the accurate way to look at it and the way we should look at it. So coming up, we got a few other things to touch on as well. We've been talking about all the immigration stuff. We got to talk too about that doctor who's now being targeted by the Biden administration for blowing the whistle on child sex change operations. And, you know, if it's not that, then it's, you know, the journalist who's now they've got the full force of law going after this journalist because they leaked the Nashville Transtifa murderers manifesto. Is the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And with Patriot Mobile, you have reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the same great service without funding the left. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. They're going to help you find the perfect plan for your needs. Whether you are a single, whether you got a family, families of all sizes, dinks, dual income, no kids. I just like saying it. And businesses of all sizes as well. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy to switch and find something tailor-made for your needs. And when you switch, you can get free activation using code Dana and peace of mind knowing that you're not funding the things you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box. And they're the only cell phone service that can say that. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. And use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first, the Fisker, the EV people, they've kind of gone bust. Now you got another solar company that's gone bust. It's Titan Solar. So another solar company. It's not the only one, by the way, that took close up shop recently. It's just like one of several. But so it's one of 16 solar installers, companies basically, to shut down. They put in thousands of systems across the U.S. They said they informed their employees June 13th that they were closing their doors. So interesting. That's another one. I wonder. Let's subsidize a lot more of it. That sounds, Kane, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I really don't want to read the story. The bestiality bus. A bus in Adams County found carrying animals used for alleged bestiality. The driver was arrested. Can the driver not breathe air anymore? Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. You guys know how I feel about this stuff. Animal abuse and also weirdos. I mean, these people grow up to be like serial killers, or they are also serial killers, or they're rapists or something like that. It's just weird. 10,000 pet owners are going to lose insurance because of Bidenomics. Now it's like it's even difficult to have your pet insured. 100,000 pet owners are going to lose their insurance because of inflationary pressures and other factors. That's from Nationwide Insurance. And they said they're not able to maintain all of it and also be viable still. That's because it's so bad. And some of the pet owners, like depending on what kind of breed you get, dogs are very expensive. That's why, and I've had French Bulldogs. I don't think I could ever own another one. They are an adorable breed, but heartbreaking. And you will never own a more expensive dog in your ever loving life. Like you absolutely have to have pet insurance with that dog. It's impossible. They'll break your bank. I'm not even joking. And now you can't even do that because Bidenomics. So, this guy in Pennsylvania is in trouble because they said he was caught selling moonshine at a tire and repair shop. And I'm trying to see what the problem is here, officer. He can't sell moonshine. They're like, you're selling moonshine here. You can't do that. It was Scafee Affordable Tire and Auto Repair. And he was selling caramel apple moonshine in quart jars. Mmm, tasty. Super tasty. And they took the moonshine as evidence. And they said, you can't do it. You can't be selling moonshine in here. He's charged with misdemeanor counts of unlawful sales of liquor. See, you have to petition the government that told you the injection what didn't have any adverse reaction, was totally safe and also worked in transmission. That injection that also tells you cigarettes are safe. You have to petition them to get permission to sell your probably more organic moonshine than anything they've ever made. But I digress. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protesting oil. I'm wearing shoes made with oil. I have products that are made with oil. I'm literally holding canisters that are made of oil.
I mean, so the Stop Oil people, these are Stop Oil protesters, dorks, who were spraying Stonehenge because of oil. Mm-hmm. They released clouds of paint against several huge stones because people were coming there for, I guess, summer solstice or something. One of these people is a, I'm not making this up, a bird watcher. It's a youth representative at the British Trust for Ornithology. What did you get your degree in? Bird watching. And then, of course, they had to take pictures of themselves after they did it. Because, you, I mean, does activism really count if you don't post it on Insta? Did you guys see my activism today? Just out there, like, activisming. Posting it on Insta. What? On TikTok. So, does it exist if you don't post about it? I don't know. They took pictures of themselves posing in front of Stonehenge with the orange paint. And they wore Just Stop Oil, and they had canisters made with oil. I mean, everything that they're doing is betrayed by the fact that they needed petroleum to do it.
Right. So let me get this straight. Uh-huh. You cannot in any way deface paint on a road with a tire mark. I mean, again, on the road, the tire mark. But this... spray painting, whatever, polluting the air, spray painting these Stonehenge historical stones with paint, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right to do.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get a tire mark on the road when there's a rainbow flag.
Can I just point out that these individuals were carrying a canister that had a sealant on it? What was the sealant made from? Mm. Petroleum.
That's a shame.
And it involved chemicals made of petroleum.
Ooh, that hurts.
And they went there using vehicles, whether it's EV or combustion engine, that require petroleum. They also, one of them had glasses, eyeglasses made with petroleum. They traveled to Stonehenge on asphalt made with petroleum. I mean, where do you want me to keep going?
Oh, we could.
One of them wore a belt made with petroleum.
The tires on the vehicle.
Made with petroleum.
The phone they were recording.
Made with petroleum.
Yeah.
Their shoelace aglets. You know what the aglet is? It's a little plastic thing at the end of the shoelace. Made with petroleum. Yeah. And, I mean, do you want me to keep going? Because I literally could do this.
If I was like anti- for the rest of the show, I wouldn't surround myself with it.
Yeah. That's like saying that you're protesting against chicken while eating delicious chicken. Mm, you should be against this. Mm, mm, mm. They're literally using petroleum while protesting it. So make yourself honest and just do without all those things. But we're like activisming. And I love how one of the people was screaming at them, "You dirty scum." It's the meanest they could get. "You dirty scum." Goodness. But yeah, these, and I'm like seeing pictures of these people all wearing stuff that you made petrol, because they have tons of photos of themselves on their social media page. They made the druids mad. There's a video of like, is he an actual druid? I thought they were like real scary folk. Druids weren't scary. Isn't that what the Romans said? Like they scared the hell out of the Romans when they went out there. They're like, oh my gosh. There's a druid who was real mad yelling at him. Just saying, the Romans were a little nervous about the druids. Just saying. So maybe, you know, don't bring your Insta activism in to the druids. I'm just saying. I don't they're not harming the people who go up there and do the solstice stuff. They're not harming anyone. I don't even think they flatten the grass. I think they like comb it back up after they leave. I'm just saying. I mean, I feel like they're doing more for the environment than the Just Stop Oil people who are slinging paint everywhere. Like a Jackson Pollock activism. Oh my gosh, and they're holding, I kid you not, a shiny plastic sign that says Just Stop Oil. Guess what that sign's made of? Petroleum.
Oh man.
Wow. These people are morons. It makes me want to use more oil. Every time I see them do this, I want to go out and use more of it. Ooh, I like that. Do you like that? I like that idea.
Yeah.
I want to go and use more of it. You make me want to be more reckless with my stewardship. I mean, I'll just hold the earth hostage. We'll just do it like this. Oh my gosh. But they said that they were trying to get the canister off the protesters. And then the protesters sat down after they said, why target Stonehenge? Like, aren't those people up there hippies? I don't know. Literally, I have no clue. They just seem like it, you know? Some of them wear a lot of tweed, so maybe not. But they don't really hurt nobody. They're up there with like nature and stuff. Wouldn't those people be people that you might find a natural alliance with? So why are you going to go up there and like, you know, wee in their Cheerios? Why are you doing this? So they kept saying that it was orange corn flour in a canister that has chemicals and sealant in it. You idiots. So I don't know. That doesn't do anything for your activism. I want to start. This is audio soundbite 16. The Biden administration sent the FBI to intimidate a Texas Children's Hospital whistleblower who was alerting the public of secret child gender procedures. Listen to this.
Hello.
Door right. Cam footage.
I'm looking for Vanessa Civage. Okay. Yeah. Who are you? I'll make some FBI agent.
Okay.
This is Mr. McBride.
Hey, I'm David McBride.
Okay. Nice to meet you, sir.
Let me do this.
It's a pleasant interaction. You're not in trouble. Nor is she.
Okay. All right.
Hi.
How are you? She snuck up on you there.
You want to see Tiff?
Are we interrupting dinner? I'm really sorry.
That's all right. What's going on?
Let me start at the beginning. So I'm sure you're aware of some of the things that have been going on at your work lately.
With regards to...
Yeah, so I gotta... Can we sit down for a minute? Let me do my song and dance.
No. You're FBI. You know, you don't even have to be under oath, and if they think you're lying to them, that's actionable, right? So this story, because it came out that this hospital was still continuing. I mean, you're talking about gender... How do I want to say it? Like reassignment surgeries or like gender mutilation? It's mutilation that was done. And this doctor, his name is Ethan Haim. The DOJ unsealed the case this week. He exposed Texas Children's Hospital for doing these surgeries on minors. And he's been slapped with 4 charges now. And he faces up to 10 years in prison. And he blew the whistle on this. And they were trying to say, oh, you were dealing with protected individual health information that for patients not under your care. He's making his initial appearance before the magistrate in Houston. That was yesterday. And it's a 4-count indictment. And it says that he obtained, you know, this information under false pretenses with intent to cause malicious harm to Texas Children's Hospital. I would really question who's actually causing the malicious harm at TCH, because it seems like operating unnecessarily on perfectly healthy kids and cutting off their body parts or sewing up body parts or things like that, that seems to be, to me, the malicious harm being done. He was a resident at Baylor College of Medicine, and he had rotations at TCH. And so if they could put him away for 10 years. But he blew the whistle on this because this wasn't supposed to be happening. And he's refused to accept that these procedures are in any way legitimate medical treatments. And it's because they're not. I mean, they aren't. But the administration, this is punishment for him exposing what was happening. The hospital was the one that was lying. The hospital lied and said that they weren't doing this, and that was okay. Now he's got to go to trial, facing up to 10 years. This is a crazy story, simply because he's telling the truth and he blew the whistle on this. And 4 counts. They sent the FBI agents there. And so what you heard, those were some of the nurses that also spoke out. And so these FBI agents showed up to the door of this nurse, one of the nurses who spoke out with Dr. Haim. And is that intimidation? That seems kind of like you're trying to intimidate by doing this. I mean, this guy is heroic, because this isn't legitimate procedure. This isn't medicine. It's experimentation. You're creating a patient. You're not helping a patient. You're creating a patient. But they want 10 years in prison. They're seeking the maximum for this. Now, keep this in mind, too, because in addition to this, you got this journalist in Nashville facing jail time now. Remember the trans Tifa nut job who shot up a Christian school because it was Christian in Nashville and killed three children and three adults? Now a journalist, they're threatening to put this journalist in jail if he doesn't reveal his source. The judge demanded one of the journalists to appear in court and to address, you know, where he got the documents from, the manifesto, because the manifesto came out. And the Nashville lieutenant had delivered a court declaration suggesting that maybe one of the former lieutenants was the source of the leak. But regardless, the argument is the public's right to know is paramount. And this does not do anything to the integrity of any kind of investigation. It doesn't change the investigation. It doesn't impact any kind of investigation. It doesn't impact any kind of legal proceeding. The public has a right to know. The reason they shielded it was because it was a trans Tifa terrorist who was entirely motivated by Christian hate and bigotry, because it was a woman who wanted to be a man and she hated everyone else who wouldn't accept her fantasy self-perception. This is a two-tier system of justice, not to mention you can't force people to reveal their sources. I mean, this is how a lot of this stuff gets broken in this country, especially in an era when you have an administration that's trying to bring down its full force to snuff out any kind of distribution of information on social networks. They've tried that with pandemic and with a laptop, a million other things now. And what about the stuff we don't even know that they've tried to suppress?
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I'm in favor of the Second Amendment. Mm. I also believe there is no reason why we have assault weapons on the streets of America.
No, don't.
Assault weapons ban. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, and we need universal background checks. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, and we need red flag laws. And we need the people in the United States Congress to have the courage to stand up to the gun lobbyists.
The people?
And take action around what is just reasonable, universal background checks.
None of these people can actually explain the difference between universal background checks and background checks, which we already have. They can't explain it. They have no idea how. So if you ask them to explain it, they're like, because we have background checks. Universal background checks it's a registry. The government has to know everything you have in order for that to work. They want to, and it's illegal right now. Federal law prohibits the government from collecting that information and creating a registry. So this is their way of trying to get around it. Oh, but we need this. We have to have this. Except the biggest mass casualty incidents that we have were people either not reporting, or people like, the disgraced cop, Scott Israel, just not following up on 39 separate calls into his office about the same guy who was super dangerous and already held a gun to a kid's head and knocked his mom's teeth out of her face. So that wouldn't have anything to do with it. But you can't be for the Second Amendment and then say that you want to abridge it. You can't be for the Second Amendment and then say that you want to ban semi-automatic firearms. That's what they mean by assault weapons. Because there's only one definition of assault weapons from like an Army field guide, and it's talking specifically about full auto or select fire. And that's all, you know, an unconstitutional NFA item anyway. But we don't have that. This is a target of semi-automatic. And that's what they mean. She does not support the Second Amendment. She does not know. She does not own a gun. These people talk about two-way issues as good as Chuck Schumer grills hamburgers. Do you think they ate that? I'm sorry. I just need to switch gears here. Do you think they actually ate those hamburgers? Somebody pointed out to me, I don't know if it was Lorraine or somebody pointed out to Lorraine in the chat, that he didn't even have all the burners turned up.
Right.
Do you think they ate those? I really want to know.
Because that one that was raw with the cheese on it, there's no way it could have got cooked right under the cheese.
Oh, I can't.
There.
I'm going to throw up.
And that meat was
gray looking. It really actually makes me ill. I'm not even kidding. I'm
it
on air.
It looked like, you know, the kind of
hamburger you wouldn't buy in the grocery store if you saw it in the package, like that color.
It's like the meat that's like gray in the store and it looks like it's been poked at.
Yeah. Like someone ran an alien through the grinder.
It's so nasty.
It's not good.
It's so gross. It's like old roadkill that's been ground chucked. Ugh, I'm ill. That's so gross. I never thought anything could make me like feel gross about grilling, but Chuck Schumer, congratulations. Today in Stupidity, Kane, what do we...
Yeah, well, it's our president. He's, you know, it's all those cheap fakes that are out there that are just making him look bad. It's not really that he's bad. It's just that he's looking bad because of cheap fakes. Like, cut one. One? Look at, listen to this one. Oh, boy. He short-circuited right there.
Yeah, that one wasn't.
Yeah, if you look that up on the internet, you'll see how bad that is. And by the way, no doctoring of the video. Wasn't a cheap fake. That one cost a little.
Yeah, no cheap fake for that. Folks, I am going to be out tomorrow and Friday for family stuff, but I will be back with you on Monday. Make sure you find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. Sign up to Substack Chapter and Verse. We will be watching out for that immunity decision. Have a great night. Back with you Monday.